Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, December 16th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Hey, I have a special announcement. Today's program marks a huge milestone. This is my 400th podcast. I know. Can you stand it? We've come a very long way since I timidly began this audio educational and enrichment effort back in February 2007. Today's special show, which is also my last of 2013, features some really interesting stuff. There are a few questions from the sexually worrisome, and I also have an interesting profile of a woman who is trying to reclaim her sexual self after breast cancer. I think you'll find her heartfelt story enriching as well as empowering.
You got more. You got talent, you got charisma, and you got balls.
That's good to know. But before we get to all of this, we have a word from our sponsor. And this week's podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans, our sponsor today is me. Think of this as our very own winter pledge drive. You see, I wanted to call attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon.
Just in case we get killed, I wanted to tell you, you have the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
Listen, I'm trying to finish this. So click on that icon and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lubes, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. Okay, on with the show. As you probably recall from last week, I was all involved in responding to a young woman's query about porn for women when I ran out of time. So let's pick up where we left off last week, shall we? My correspondent's name was Candace. She was 22 years old, and she wrote from Cleveland, and her question was really short and to the point. Is there such a thing as porn for women? Now, last week, we considered the proliferation of porn for straight women. This week, we take a look at some of the other categories of porn for women. Remember, this is by no means an exhaustive list. And just so you know, you can find most of all of these titles in Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video Library tab in the header of DrDickSexAdvice.com for this great sex resource. So let's start out with some porn for straight couples. There's a company called Comstock Films. It's a New York-based filmmaker, Tony Comstock's effort. He forged his own path in the adult business, creating films previously unseen in the world of porn, blending a documentary style with hardcore sex. Comstock created a new genre called pornumentary or docuporn. His films feature real live couples talking about their relationship and sex life before having sex on camera. This results in a fresh and revealing look into the lives of real people and depicts the kind of sex real people have. This is porn without the fakery and cliché so often in mainstream porn. It's erotica with emotion and context. Next, there's a woman that of note. Her name is Anna Spann. Anna is Britain's first female porn director, and she brings a unique perspective to her hardcore films. Her college dissertation, interestingly enough, was titled Toward a New Pornography. She created her first hardcore adult film in 1997 and worked for adult TV channels in the UK. She is the author of the book Erotic Home Video. Her production company, titled Easy on the Eye, also releases films by other female directors. Anna's films are made for both women and men, but she makes a special effort to include more female perspectives in her film, with a focus on female pleasure. Her movies feature excellent acting and engaging plots. Anna Spann created a series called Women in Porn, which features a selection of newer female directors hand-chosen by Anna. Next up is Tristan Taramino. Tristan is an author, editor, filmmaker, someone who has made her career out of sex education, particularly in the area of anal sex. We featured a lot of stuff here on DrDickSexAdvice.com by Tristan. Her column and website, Pucker Up, deals extensively with anal sex, and her book, The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women, won a Firecracker Award. It was also made into a film in 1999, and in 2006, Tristan created her own production company called Smart Ass Productions, so she could create her own brand of porn films. She was honored at the inaugural Feminist Porn Awards in Toronto in 2006, and her film Chemistry won an AVN Award in 2007, the first of several such awards and nominations. Tristan has her own line of educational films with the porn giant Vivid, called Vivid Ed. Again, you can find all of these titles in Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Tristan describes herself as queer, saying she dislikes the label bisexual. Her films are designed to appeal to women and men of all orientations. Next, there's Joy Bear Pictures. Joy Bear is another UK-based erotic film company that makes films for both women and men. It was established in 2003 by Justin Ribeiro de Santos after he won a Playboy filmmaking competition. Joy Bear creates high-quality, high-class, explicit films and makes an effort to cater to the real desires of their audience. The company regularly runs surveys and focus groups to determine what kind of sex people want to see, which is pretty cool if you ask me. Next, we have porn movies for lesbian and queer people as a category. And while girl-on-girl action has long been a mainstay in the porn market, authentic lesbian erotica is still a relatively rare thing. But nowadays, there are a number of people working to create their own brand of lesbian and queer porn, reflecting their own experiences and tastes. And I have a couple of people I want to call attention to. First is Maria Beatty and Blue Productions. Paris-based filmmaker Maria Beatty is world-renowned for her innovative and beautiful lesbian erotica films that focus on BDSM. Having previously worked on documentaries about artists, Maria began to make her own special brand of porn in 1994, producing the Elegant Spanking, which received international acclaim. The film documents the intimate sadomasochistic encounters of Maria and a dominant female partner. Since then, Maria has produced an impressive number of adult movies, all exploring the playful relationship between pleasure and pain. As she says, her films have been produced independently in order to keep her vision of erotica unblemished by the demands of the major studios. She also does all the writing, editing, camera work, and production design herself. Maria recently completed a second feature-length film called The Boy in the Bathtub, and is currently working on other erotic films, too. Next is Madison Young. San Francisco-based Madison Young describes herself as a bondage fetish model, adult performer, artist, gallerist, activist, publisher, writer, rope slut, queer, and feminist. She runs a nonprofit art gallery called Femina Potens and performs in porn to help fund that. She's an exhibitionist who enjoys exploring the kinkier side of her sexuality on film. And she has been a guest on my show, The Sex Wisdom Show. So use the search function in the header of drdicksexadvice.com, type in Madison Young, and voila, the two parts of her podcast will immediately appear. Madison is fond of saying, "I want to be part of a movement of sex-positive feminists taking control of their sexuality on film. Somehow documenting my sexual explorations always gives me some unbeknownst permission to explore parts of my sexuality that I didn't feel comfortable exploring in the bedroom. I love the camera. I always used to beg my partners to tape us having sex even before I got into the industry. I believe that it's educational to document honest sexual exploration and experiences, and I try to feed into that and put all of my sexual energies into a scene." Now, aside from performing in numerous mainstream porn films, Madison runs her own website, Madison Bound, and has recently begun to make her own movies. Her subject matter encompasses many different tastes, but usually includes BDSM and lots of lesbianism. Next, there's SIR Productions. SIR stands for Sex, Indulgence, and Rock and Roll. This company was one of the pioneers of real lesbian erotica, and their titles are considered classics. Their movies are legendary for capturing raw emotion, intense chemistry, real orgasms, and conveys a revolutionary queer desire. No wonder their films have played to sold-out audiences to almost every LGBT film fest around the world. The next category and final one is porn movies like 50 Shades of Grey. You've probably read 50 Shades of Grey or know someone who has, right? And let's just say that you are now keen to see some good smut that offers erotic BDSM, preferably with a female submissive and a hot guy. Well, here's a short list of titles to get you started. But don't forget to look for all the swell instructional videos available at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. The first title is The Submission of Emma Marks. Here's the storyline. Emma Marks is a beautiful and confident, well-adjusted woman. Unfortunately, when it comes to love and romance, all of her previous relationships have turned out to be a little bit too routine and mundane. Suddenly, that all changes with the chance encounter with a handsome and mysterious man. Oh, where have we heard that before? He introduces her to the world that she has only dared to fantasize about, a world of erotic sex, role play, and BDSM. She is surprised to discover how a man can so easily strip away her inhibitions and replace them with lust and desire.
How is it that he has such control over her? Why does she like this so much? This is her journey of self-discovery and sexual awakening, but it comes with a price, of course. What happens when the greatest love you've ever known forces you to face your greatest obstacle, yourself? Dum da dum dum dum. Next one is Shades of Kink. Enter the dark territory, unbridled sexual perversion and fantasy in Sweet Sinner's taboo-smashing feature film Shades of Kink. Riley is a sweet, innocent, and motivated college grad looking for her first job at Norton Ash's marketing firm. The mysterious Mr. Ash is looking to help his new recruit open up her imagination and her body to new experiences. With intense drama and explosive performances by Maddie O'Reilly, Andy Sandimas, and Lily LeBou, Shades of Kink guarantees to reinvent erotica. Finally, there's 50 Shades of Dylan Ryan. Award-winning feminist pornographer Madison Young, who I just mentioned a few moments ago, brings you 50 Shades of Dylan Ryan. Wealthy entrepreneur and book publishing mogul Ms. Gray has met her match in young college student and curious submissive Dylan Ryan. After a sexy and defiant Ryan challenges Ms. Gray to a bet, Dylan forgoes her freedom and submerges herself into a life of total submission, testing her boundaries, providing her servitude through sexual gratification, masked orgies soaked in female ejaculate, vibrated and fucked to orgasmic heights, coupled with fellow sexual servants Bianca Stone and Beretta James. Dylan is whipped to climatic moments of pain and pleasure and collared while cradled in the intimate embrace of tenderness after an aggressive and beautiful journey into the depths of her darkest desires. How fun! Sounds like a holiday viewing material to me. Okay, that's it for my Porn for Women presentation. I hope you liked it.
You give me premature ventricular contractions.
What's that?
You make my heart skip a beat.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate it. Now I want to share with y'all an exchange I had with a woman who wants to explore what she calls anal pleasure and prostate massage with her husband. This is Eleanor. She writes, I've heard the prostate referred to as the male G-spot, but I've also heard the frenulum was given the same name. Which is it? Or is this term not appropriate for either part of the male anatomy? Male G-spot more appropriately denotes the prostate. Definitely not the frenulum. However, let's see if we can be all grown up about this and skip the unnecessary comparison between G-spot and anything in the male anatomy, because that's like saying the clit is like a female penis. If you absolutely must use shorthand for the prostate, try P-spot. Eleanor says, how should a woman go about finding and petting the prostate? And I responded, first, cut and file smooth your fingernails. And before you start playing with a man's hole, make sure he's relaxed. Have him take a relaxing shower or a warm bath, and have him try some deep breathing exercises that will help him chill out. Have a ready supply of water-based lube handy. Of course, silicone-based lubes are swell for these exercises too, but this type of lube isn't recommended for use with a condom. Now start with a nice hand job. Stroke your man's dick with your lubed hand to get him into his happy place. Gradually slather some of that lube onto his balls and taint. And while his legs are open, find his hole and play with his rosebud. Gently massage the area around his asshole, but don't slide your finger in just yet. Simply let him get used to these new sensations. After a while, let your play include the tip of your finger entering his ass. If you do this while you are stroking his cock, you will find that his hole actually opens and invites your finger in. That's the great thing of pleasuring one part of your body while learning to pleasure another. Once he's comfortable with your fingertip inside, try pushing it in a little further and moving it around a little bit. Try pushing it in and pulling it out of his ass. You know, like finger fucking your man. Now, if you move your finger in and upward along the wall of his rectum toward the front of his body, about an inch or so, you will discover a round bulb of tissue that is the size of a walnut. This is his prostate. It shouldn't be hard to find, particularly if your man's all horned up. It will feel smooth and hard like a flat stone. Give this puppy a nice gentle massage with your fingertip. If you're still stroking his wood, don't be surprised if this prostate massage gets him off. In fact, you will find that his prostate actually enlarges a bit and becomes more firm just as he is about to shoot his wad. As he comes, you will also notice that his anal sphincter muscle will tighten around your finger and pulsate with each squirt. Eleanor then asks, "What's the best position for the guy to be in to do this?" And I responded, "My recommendation is that your man be on his back while you face him between his open legs. This gives you great access to his cock, his balls, and his asshole. Should a girl be worried about hurting her lover while playing with his prostate? If you go slow and are gentle, there's nothing to be concerned about. Don't forget to ask for feedback. And if you want to know what he's feeling, finger your own hole first." "In your experience as a sex therapist," Eleanor goes on, "do you find that straight men are wary of letting their female partners explore anal play with them? And if so, how would you advise a woman to address or overcome any homophobic paranoia her partner may have in regard to anal play?" Oh yeah, big time. Straight guys have it in their head that ass play is all about the gay. I always respond that that would be true if only gays had prostates. Now, this is also a really delicate issue. The best a woman can do is invite her guy to experience some new sensations. Anything more than that can really easily backfire. If she's too insistent or tries to shame him into it, the guy's fears will quickly become a phobia. Eleanor's last question. "In your experience, is male vulnerability a factor in anal play? And if so, is there anything a woman should or could say to psychologically care for her lover?" Oh yeah, like I said above, ass play is often associated with the horrors of being gay. The best thing a woman can do is watch some hot butt sex porn with her man, where the dude is on the receiving end of things. These are called pegging videos, which you probably already know. And then there are how-to videos like Tristan Taormino's Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men, which pretty much ties in the first part of this podcast about porn for women. Good luck.
"I'm going to roll you into a little ball and shove you up my vagina."
That's going to be fun, don't you know? Alrighty. Finally, I want to introduce you to my friend Holly. That's not her real name. She's 43 and she's had a double mastectomy 3 years ago and has been cancer-free ever since. She's a graphic artist, shares her home with her wife of 10 years, Jean, and her teenage daughter, Annie. A beautiful smile radiates from Holly's full mocha-colored face. Oodles of thick, jet-black braids spring from her head as if a fountain has gone mad. She is forever brushing one or another of them from her face as she speaks. Her frequent laughter is like music, making her whole body dance and shake, but her levity masks a somberness and apprehension that is very troubling to her. She tells me, I often become consumed with worry about getting sick again. My fears can turn into a paralyzing dread that takes days and sometimes weeks to shake. I know that until I can accept the possibility of my own death, I'll never be able to embrace all the great things that are right in front of me. Later in our conversation, she says, "Okay, so if you want to know the truth, I'm dealing with some big-time body issues. The mastectomy really scarred me, psychologically as well as physically. I didn't realize the dimensions of all of this until I had finished the chemo and radiation I was doing. For a good 6 months after the surgery, I was so sick from all that poison that the thought of sex of any kind made me nauseous. I didn't even want to have Jean in the same bed with me. It was awful. Over time, the nausea diminished, and I was able to resume some semblance of my intimacy with Jean. We were able to be close and do some touching, like sitting on the couch holding hands while watching TV, just as long as it wasn't sexual. Then a couple of months ago, Jean and I had this big blowout. We were screaming and yelling about God knows what, when she finally blurts out, 'Can't you see I'm starving? I have needs too, you know. For as much intimacy as I get from you, I could be living on the moon. Are we ever going to resume our sex life? Because if I wanted to live like a nun, I would have joined a convent. Your sex aversion is making me sick.' The intensity and ferocity of Jean's outburst blew me away. I'd completely forgotten about her needs. I know I still loved her, of course, but after the surgery I didn't feel whole. I didn't feel like a woman. Know what I mean? When things simmered down a bit, I think Jean could tell that she wounded me deeply, and she said, 'I'm doing this as much for you as I am for myself. You gotta deal with this, babe.' Of course, Jean was right. I was starving too, but I was too afraid and ashamed to admit it. We've had some lame attempts to move past the status quo since then, but it's still not like the old days. Oh my God, the old days, Jean and I were like wild women, letting it all hang out. Some of that was lesbian pride, but I must also admit it was a kind of in-your-face protest. We were both like, 'You know, these are my breasts, damn it. Get over it.' I don't see how I can ever regain that. I mean, how can I make a gift of myself to someone if I don't feel much like a treasure? I still have some shame about losing my breasts. I'm not a whole person anymore." And I responded, "Hold on there, Holly. Where did you lose your breasts? At the laundromat? You didn't lose your breasts. You had cancer. They were surgically removed to save your life. There's no shame in that. To think otherwise is self-defeating. Besides, it doesn't sound like Jean thinks of you as damaged goods at all. You're still attracted to her, right?" "That's what I thought." "Well, then, you're just going to have to let your love for one another heal you of your shame and self-doubt. You're no less a woman without your breasts. I wonder, have you ever taken the time to grieve the loss of your breasts? Could you go to Jean and ask her to hold you while you weep for what is no longer yours? Your shame is indeed getting in the way of reconnecting with Jean, but Jean is your life partner, and this is part of life. Share it with her. Don't try to carry it alone." Holly then said, "But I have this completely non-existent sex drive. The first couple of months after the chemo and radiation, I would have this weird feeling when Jean would try to be close to me. It was like being on a bad acid trip or something. I felt as if my whole body was there, but I wasn't in it. I felt nothing. My headspace was totally different from how it was before I got sick. I would lie there thinking, 'Oh my God, what is happening? Will I ever feel normal again? How many more opportunities will I have to be with Jean like this before I die? Why don't I feel what I used to feel?' And I said, 'Well, for one thing, you were fighting for your life back then, right? That's bound to change a person's perceptions a bit, wouldn't you say?' Listen, can I suggest that you have a heart-to-heart talk with Jean about your concerns? Tell her what you are telling me. Just be sure that you have this conversation at some neutral time, not during an intimate moment. This way, you could speak freely about what your concerns are, what you are thinking and feeling, without fear of Jean misinterpreting your comments as sexual rejection. How does that sound to you? But what if I screwed up? What if this somehow scars Jean for the rest of her life? I don't want that to happen. I wouldn't be able to forgive myself. I'm afraid something bad might happen, and that's why I'm frozen in place. There are ways to overcome this stalemate, Holly. First, you need to reassure Jean that you are committed to working through the impasse with her. I think she needs some reassurance that you haven't given up. And in return, you could ask for her patience because this process may be slow. One other thing, for sure, you might want to give her some sort of timeline. Otherwise, you may find yourself putting this off indefinitely, and that won't do. I recommend that the two of you begin to explore what is possible for you now in your sex life together. Avoid comparing what you are able to do now with how things were in the past. Keep the exploration simple and open-ended, and I suggest that you don't create a goal to be achieved. That's where most people in your situation go wrong. Keep your exploration moving forward, of course, but also try to keep it open-ended. You guys might want to start with some cuddling, spoon breathing. Do you know what that is? It's a great exercise, and I highly recommend it. Here's what you do. Lay on your side next to each other, like spoons in a drawer. Jean's front to your back, and then try to match one another's breathing pattern. First, Jean will try to match your breathing pattern. Then you guys could switch position, your front to her back, and you could try to match her breathing. This exercise can be done with or without clothing, and you will be amazed at how comforting this will be for you both. It's the ideal place to start rebuilding a sense of confidence about being physical together. As time goes on, your spoon breathing embraces could become more adventuresome. When you're feeling up to it, take one of Jean's hands in one of your own and guide it over your body in a way that feels pleasurable and comfortable to you. You could show her the kind of stroke and pressure that is desirable for you. This will be a very effective way of reestablishing a threshold for what is possible between the two of you now, as well as moving forward. This guided hand sensual touch can be expanded to include genitals if and when you're ready. You could also educate Jean on how to pleasure you in a way that would allow you to be more of a passive recipient rather than an active participant in your lovemaking, if that's what you want. I suspect that these two exercises will be a good place for you and Jean to start the nonverbal communication that is just as essential as having the chat that I mentioned earlier. The only other suggestions I have to offer are these. Keep these exercises playful and honor your limits. Maybe you could get back to me in a few weeks and let me know how things go. Good luck.
I'm going to wrap your legs around my head and wear you like the crown that you are.
That's going to be fun. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in again after the first of the year for our next podcast and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one you just heard.
You got more grit, fire, and guts than any woman I've ever met.
Well, that's good. So you're going to contribute then, right? You may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you hear, If you enjoy all the wonderful features of Dr. Dick Sex Advice and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There is no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees. And you can be certain that every dime that you donate goes to support this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Happy holidays, everyone. Over and out.